God in Philippians chapter 1 is one of the places in the Bible that forms the basis of the instruction that we have in Lord's Day 22, especially in verses 21, 22, and 23. Read those three verses again. Philippians 1, verses 21 through 23. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now let's read Lord's Day 22 of the Heidelberg Catechism, found in the back of the Psalter, on page 12 in the back of the Psalter, Lord's Day 22. First question, question 57. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Anon ka liwan ba nang muling pagka buhay na katawan ang naidudulot sa iyo? The answer, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. And then question 58, what comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Canon 58, anon ka liwan ba ang nakukua mo hingil sa artikulong walang hanggang buhay? The answer, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, which I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. This Lord's Day, beloved people of God, is obviously very closely related to Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 1, you remember, is the first Lord's Day that introduces us to the theme of the Heidelberg Catechism. And what is that theme of the Catechism? Ang ka liwan. Comfort. Our only comfort in life and in death. And that comfort is that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's obvious that Lord's Day 22 is tied very closely to that, because it also emphasizes comfort. You notice that in both the questions that are asked, question 57 as well as question 58. What is your comfort? What is your comfort? Anon ka liwan? Anon ka liwan? What is the comfort that you find from these truths of the Word of God as you believe and confess them? There's more to its connection to Lord's Day 1, and that is that this Lord's Day, Lord's Day 22, focuses on the comfort that we have as God's people in death. In death. We need that comfort, not only in life, but also in death. Inilang sa buhay kundi gayunden sa kamatayan. And that's what this Lord's Day emphasizes, the comfort that we may have in death as we face the reality of dying. We face that death. We are dying every day as we get older, as we experience pain, as we experience tiredness, sometimes very tired, pagod na pagod, sickness. Those are all parts of our daily experience of death. But then we also know that our final death is coming. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us of that, where the Word of God says, it is appointed unto man once to die. That's an appointment that we have to keep. Every one of us, one day, will die. We have a natural fear of death. I don't think any one of us would say that we really want to die, or that we really look forward to dying. There is in us that desire to continue to live in this life. We have a fear of death, we're afraid of death sometimes because of the unknown. We really don't know what to expect when death comes. The child of God who believes the truth of the Word of God, as that is summarized here in Lord's Day 22, can say, I don't have to be afraid of death. I don't have to be frightened by dying. And why not? Because I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And belonging to Him, I have comfort not only in life, kundi geyunden sa kamatayan. So let's consider this Lord's Day under the theme, comfort in death. Ka liwan sa kamatayan. Notice three things concerning that: our intermediate state, our final resurrection, and our everlasting life. First, though, our intermediate state. An ating kalagayan sa pagdito. The question that we face is this: what happens to a person when he or she dies? Where does that person go when they die? What does that person experience when he or she dies and leaves this earthly life? Well, the answer to those questions is what is meant by the intermediate state. Ating kalagayan sa pagdito. What is that? That intermediate state is the state that we have between the day that we die and the return of Christ at the end of time when we are raised again from the dead. Nang kamatayan at huling pagkabuhay ng katawan. Refers to saan tayo mapupunta at ano ang ating mararanasan. That's the intermediate state. Where is a person? What is a person experiencing after he dies and before the return of Jesus Christ? Well, to help us understand what that intermediate state is, we first of all look at a few wrong answers to what that is. Ang ilang maling mga pananaw. What does not happen? That's really what we're looking at first. What does not happen when a person dies? Well, there are some that say this is what happens when a person dies. Walang mangyayari. Nothing. Nothing happens. What they believe, and this is the belief mostly of unbelievers, the ungodly, this is what they think about death. They say, we live here on this earth for a time, for a while, and then we die. When we reach 60, 70, 80 years, that's the end of our life on this earth. And when we die, our bodies are buried, and they go into the grave, and there in the grave, they decompose, they rot, they decay, they return to the dust, and that's it. That's all that we can say about death. Nothing comes after this earthly life is finished. There is no continued conscious existence that a person has once he dies. He lives, he dies, and that's it. Nothing more. Walang mangyayari. When you look at the way they live, you see that they're thinking about death, affects their life. How do they live? They live like this life is the only thing that matters. This life is the only thing that counts. They live it up. They eat, drink, and be merry. They say, make the most of your life while you can. Especially if you're young. While you're young, have as much fun as you can. Enjoy life to the fullest extent. For this life is all that there is. Once it's over, that's it. Nothing more. Now we recognize, of course, that sometimes we simply can be tempted to think that way as well and to take that approach to life. To forget about the fact that there's something coming after this life, something that we have to face, something that is very real. We can be tempted too by having our earthly focus, desiring and seeking honestly earthly fun, earthly success, earthly pleasure, and earthly goals. This is a wrong view, of course. Death is not the end of it all. There is something that is coming, and there is something that happens after a person dies. So that's the first wrong answer. And then there is this second wrong answer. Second wrong answer is this. Whole sleep. Puluk ang kalalua. That's the idea that when one dies, he or she, as far as being conscious is concerned, is no longer aware of anything. Becomes, in regards to the soul, completely unconscious. It's like going to sleep at night. When you go to sleep at night, while you're asleep, you're not thinking of anything. You're not conscious of anything. You don't know what's happening around you while you're sleeping. If you're asleep and it doesn't affect you, everything could be destroyed around you and you wouldn't know it if it didn't wake you up. You're unaware of anything. Well, they say that's what happens when a person dies. It's not the end of everything, but they become unconscious in their souls of anything and everything that is taking place. And they could be unconscious for hundreds of years or even thousands of years, because they're only going to wake up again from this state of unconsciousness when Jesus Christ returns at the end, raises their bodies from the grave, and then also, as it were, wakes up their souls. Then they will be conscious again. Again, that is not what the Bible teaches regarding our intermediate state, regarding what happens to a person when he or she dies. And the third wrong answer is, of course, purgatory. Purgatorial. We're, of course, familiar with this view of the Roman Catholics. Perhaps you're more familiar with it than I am. They have the idea that at death, the soul of a person goes to purgatory in order there to be cleansed or to be purged of all that sin that still remains in a person. Jesus Christ paid for sins, they will say that. He paid for sins on the cross. He paid for our original sin. He paid for the sins that we committed before we were converted or before a person was baptized. But there are still other sins that haven't been paid for, not fully paid for. Other sins, according to this viewpoint, that still have to be washed away out of us. And how is that going to happen? Through facing the punishment of God for sin in purgatory. So people go to purgatory. They might spend 100 years there, they might spend 1,000 years there, they might spend more time than that even there. It all depends on how wicked they were, how many sins they committed during their earthly life, and they did not pay for through penance and other good deeds in life that supposedly help to pay for sin. So they will spend time in purgatory until they have been cleansed from all their sin by facing the judgment of God. Again, that's not what the Bible teaches. And we can say concerning that it's an awful, awful teaching. It makes death absolutely terrifying. No comfort, but death is something dreadful to face. And a person faces it with fear, frantic fear, even panic. Because when he dies, he's told, you have to go to purgatory, where you're going to face hell, fires of hell. And literally it's even described by Roman Catholics, I heard this from one, as a conveyor belt that's moving slowly on through all these fires, and the flames are licking your body as you slowly are taken for years and years through these fires in hell. I say, what a terrible teaching. Fearful to face death. But not only is it a terrible teaching, it's of course a very terrible teaching from the viewpoint of what it says about the work of Jesus Christ. It says that Jesus Christ did not do enough. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross to save his people from their sins. But really, in the end, he failed. He didn't finish his work. He didn't complete the salvation. He didn't do enough. So now we have to do something. A person has to himself pay for his own sins by facing the wrath of God in hell for a while. Well, that's a lie. Christ did it all. He went to hell. He went there so that you and I don't have to go there. Not even for a short time. Not even that. Jesus Christ took care of it all. So that brings us then to the positive teaching concerning the intermediate state. What is it? Well, over against these errors, what do we confess? We confess this. Apaga ko a namate. Nakin kalalua a mabilis na akia kai kristol na ulo nya. When I die, my soul will be immediately taken up to Christ, its head. That's what we can look forward to. Immediately, with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. So our intermediate state is not nothing. And our intermediate state is not soul sleep, becoming unconscious. And our intermediate state is not purgatory, facing the punishment for sin still. And our intermediate state is being consciously in heaven, salangit, with Christ, enjoying the bliss of life of perfection. The Word of God makes that very clear as well. Let's look at a few of the verses that make reference to what happens to us when we die. First of all, Manga Awit 73, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 73, verses 23 and 24 on page 862. Verse 23, Gayon man akoi kasama mong palagit diyan ina ala layal mo ang aking kanang kamay. Sayong kayo akoi iyong kinapatnubayan at pagkatapos ay tatanggapin more a call so kalawalhatya. So two things that made very clear there that our intermediate state is being in glory. First, in verse 23, we are always with Christ, never separated from Him, never away from Him. He is always with us. He is always holding us by His right hand. An akin kanaan kanan kamai. And so He always holds us by His hand also when we die, through death, never separated from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 24, He guides us by His counsel, and afterward, that is, as soon as this life is over, He receives us into glory. So there you see, our intermediate state is to be immediately with Christ in heaven. Then Luke 23, verse 43. Lucas 23, verse 43. In the New Testament, here are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the thief on the cross. Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus says, at summa gotcha, kamtohanan sinasavi kolsa yo nyayon ikol a makakasama kolsa para iso. Jesus did not say to the thief on the cross, the one who believed in Him, the one who was saved by Him, He did not say to him, today you will become unconscious. He did not say to him, today you will go to purgatory, but He said, hang on, ikol a makakasama kolsa para iso. In heaven, that day, as soon as He died, with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's also what we read in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verses 21 and 23. Apostle Paul in verse 21 says, Sabakat saganang aking ang mabuhay ay si Kristo at ang mamatay ay pakinabang. Death is gain. Paul is saying death is better than life. What I have through death is going to be much better than what I now have in life on this earth. We say, how can that be? Well, that certainly cannot be if when we die nothing happens, nor can it be if when we die we become unconscious. How can unconsciousness be better than living? Nor is it that when we die we go to purgatory. That's certainly not better than what we have in this life. It's better because, as he says in verse 23, he will be through death, makasama si Christo, with Christ. That's what makes death better than life. A child of God can say that. When I die, I will be immediately with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's far better than anything in this life. Far better than the very best that I have with Christ. Kamalayan salangit kasama ni Kristo. That's an amazing thing. When you've ever been at the deathbed of a child of God, it's a wonder. You really stand before a wonder, for a miracle. A miracle that that person is one moment here with us, and then the very next moment, just like that, gone from this earth and with Christ, consciously with Christ in heaven. That's our comprehension. But what a joy for them. Yes, those who are left behind on earth experience loss, but the person who dies experience gain. Those who are left on earth are saddened by that death, but the one who is taken by Christ is joyful and rejoices immediately in the presence of God and of Christ. An end to all sorrow, an end to all pain, an end to all struggles, an end to all sin with Christ, and now seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. That's what happens when the child of God dies. That's what you and I can look forward to with regard to death. It's not something to fear, but we have comfort. Anyone, the pug ating interrupt on Kamatpaya. So that brings us to our second point, our final resurrection, an ating bulin pagkabuhay. You must realize, first of all, that the blessedness of heaven and the glory that is experienced in our souls at death, though it is wonderful, is not complete. When the child of God goes to heaven at death, his experience of heaven is not complete, is not full. And that cannot be complete, it cannot be full, until the resurrection of the body takes place. Because until my body is raised from the dead and reunited with my soul, I'm only experiencing heaven in my soul. My body is not there yet. And death, that's part of the reason that we fear death, that we're naturally afraid of death, because death tears us apart. It does. Tears our souls away from our bodies. And God created body and soul as one. That's why when the child of God is in heaven, he is longing for the final resurrection of the body. That's why we read in Revelation 6 verse 9 that the souls under the altar are crying out, "How long, Lord? How long?" And they're asking, how long before God avenges them of their enemies not only, but they are desiring that their bodies be raised from the dead and reunited to them so that in body and soul they can enjoy and enjoy fully the blessedness of heaven. That's why the Apostles' Creed, the Heidelberg Catechism, and also the Bible itself, focuses the hope of the child of God on the final resurrection. That's striking. That's an interesting thing. Ang buling pagkabuhay ay ang pangunahing pag-asa ng mananampalataya. That's the main hope of the believer. So that's what we believe and what we look forward to. One day, this my body, which is now weak and which will return to the dust, will be raised to glory, and I will be reunited to, it will be reunited to my soul, and I will be able to enjoy heaven forever in body and soul. That's the hope of the believer. A hope expressed very beautifully by Job already in the Old Testament. Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. Page 765. Notice these hopeful words of Job. Job 19, verse 25. Sabakat nalalaman ko na ang aking mananubos ay nabubuhay at sa wakas siya ay tatayo sa lupa at pagkatapos na masira ng ganito ang aking balat Te umai makikita ko ang Diyos sa aking laman, na aking makikita sa aking tabi, at mamamasdan ng aking mga mata, at hindi ng iba. Ang aking puso ay nang hihina sa loob ko. That's the hope also that you and I can have. Now the Catechism, you'll notice in speaking to us of the resurrection, also mentions what our resurrection body will be like. We are told, and this is our confession, you and I confess this, my resurrection body will be made like unto the glorious resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be like the Son of God when I am raised from the dead. Ay magiging katulad ng katawan ni Kristo na muling nabuhay. Again, the scriptures make that very clear to us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. In English, the word of God in 1 John 3, verse 2 says that we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to be made like the Son of God when he returns from heaven. So he will come from heaven in his glorified body, and we will be raised from the dead and made in an instant to have glorified bodies just like the glorified body of our Lord Jesus Christ. After he rose from the dead, he had a body that was heavenly, a body that was spiritual, a body that was fit or suited for life sublunging. No longer a body that was limited by time and space. No longer a body that was restricted or stopped by physical objects. Walls did not stop him. Doors did not stop him. Think, for example, of the fact that after he was risen from the dead, he made appearances. And the disciples once were in a room, and all the doors were locked. And so no one could come in, break in upon them, and suddenly Jesus Christ was in the very middle of them in that room. He was able to make an appearance when the doors of that room were locked. Nothing else stopped him either. How did Christ rise from the dead? He did not come out of the door of the grave. The stone was rolled away from the grave, not to allow Jesus Christ to come out of that grave. He went through the rock. That was how he came out of the grave, through the rock that the grave was made of, a glorious heavenly and spiritual body. And that's what our bodies will be made like through our resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44. They're not going to be mortal bodies anymore. They're not going to be bodies that are subject to death like they are now. Our bodies are mortal now. Our bodies are dying. And our bodies one day will die when we breathe our last breath. They're going to be immortal. Not being bodies that can ever die again. Bodies that cannot be touched by death. Bodies that will be alive forever and forever. And they will no longer be corruptible bodies. That's why our bodies are now corruptible. They get older, they get sick, they wear out. We have pain, we are subject to diseases, and one day when our bodies are buried, they will be corrupted in the grave, destroyed. But in heaven they will be incorruptible, bodies that will be perfect, bodies that will be whole, complete, that means this as well. In heaven, there will be no more deformities anymore. There will be no imperfections anymore. We see many deformities today. And some of us too have blemishes on our bodies. In heaven, that will all be gone. Only perfection. And in heaven, our bodies will no longer be natural bodies. Now our bodies are natural. With our eyes, we can only see natural or earthly things. And even our minds are very natural, very limited. Can only understand things from an earthly perspective. In heaven, our bodies will be spiritual, fitted by God and prepared by God to live a spiritual life in that new spiritual heavenly creation. Well, that's the resurrection that is coming. And a wonderful, glorious day that will be when we, in our glorified bodies, made to be like Christ, will be able to enjoy the perfection of heaven. What is that perfection of heaven? What will heaven be like? That's our third point, our everlasting life. An atin buhe na walang katapusan. A life that will never, ever end. What will heaven be like, and what will life in heaven be like? The Catechism gives us a very biblical answer. What is life in heaven going to be like? Well, the Catechism doesn't give us the answer that maybe we would like to have, but instead says this. This is what heaven will be like, or this is what we can say about what heaven will be like. Hindi pa nakita ng mata, at hindi na narinig ng kaina, at hindi pumasok sa puso ng tao upang maunawaan. Heaven will be things that right now you and I cannot see. Right now, our minds cannot comprehend. And right now, we cannot fully explain or understand. That's what heaven will be. The bliss and the joy of heavenly life is beyond description. It cannot be put into words. Our earthly minds cannot fully imagine or understand or comprehend what heaven will be like. Hige pa sa pagsasalarawan and hige pa sa ating kakayahan na unawain. Sometimes think that when we get to heaven, you and I will say what the Queen of Sheba said to Solomon. Remember, Solomon had this fame, this renown, of being the wisest and the richest man on earth. And he was. But the fame, the news, unbelievers, concerning his fame had spread. And others had heard about it. And the Queen of Sheba had heard about it. And she decided, well, I'm going to visit Solomon. And I'm going to see for myself whether this is really true. She really didn't believe it fully. What did she say when she came to Solomon? She saw all his wealth, riches, prosperity, success, and she confronted him with hard questions. Mahira, questions. What did she say when he answered those questions without fail? She said, the half of it wasn't told me. When I heard about the riches and the wisdom of Solomon, and I imagined in my mind what it was like, and tried to comprehend how rich and how wise, I only got so far. And when I came here and saw it, there was so much more than what I had imagined or heard.
That's what I think we will say when we get to heaven. It will be so much greater and more blessed than we've ever imagined in this life. The Bible, interestingly and rather strikingly, speaks of heaven mostly in terms of what it is not. Ano ang hindi. Revelation 21 verse 4 does that. The last book of the Bible, Apocalypse, chapter 21, chapter that sets before us the glories of heaven, perhaps one of the clearest chapters in God's Word concerning what heaven is like. What does that verse 4 say? It says this concerning heaven. Revelation 21 verse 4. At papahirin niya ang bawat luha sa kanilang mga mata, at hindi na magkaroon ng kamatayan, hindi na rin magkaroon pa ng pagdadalamhati o ng pagtangisman o ng kirotman, sabakat ang mga unang bagay ay lumipas na. Notice that. Describes heaven in terms of what heaven is not. Ano ang hindi? No more tears in heaven. No more sorrow in heaven because of constant pain. No more sadness in heaven because of family members that forsake the ways of God. No more tears in heaven because of the constant pain of body that we experience in this life. And no more grief of heart and crying and shedding of tears in heaven because of your own sins. Now those sins make us weep that we would commit them, not in heaven. And no more suffering in heaven. No more family struggles and marriage struggles and church difficulties. No pain, no sickness, no death. No sleepless nights because we worry about things. No murder, no war, no crimes, no hatred, no persecution for the sake of Christ. And of course, all of this because there will be no more sin. Walang kasalana sa langit. No sin in me. No sin in anyone else. None committed by me. None committed against me. Everyone who is in heaven will be a saint, a holy child of God. No wicked people there, and no wickedness there. Only the perfect people of God. That's why heaven will be, as the Catechism says, walang katapusan kadalaka, eternal joy. And that's why heaven is described as being the place where there is ganapna kaligtasa, perfect salvation. And that's why in heaven we will praise God forever. Nakpukuri sa Diyos ng walang katapusan. That's what we can confess and know concerning heaven. The child of God, faithful believer, looks forward to that. Why do we look forward to that? Because in this life, we're never satisfied. Never satisfied. I don't deny that we enjoy this life, enjoy earthly life. We do. We have many good gifts from God in this life. God gives us many good experiences in this life, and we may enjoy them, but isn't it true that earthly things for us as believers never fully satisfy? Money doesn't, success doesn't, possessions doesn't, work doesn't, leisure doesn't, family doesn't, and earthly life itself doesn't either, because it's always tainted with sin, tainted with suffering, a life that is, as the Word of God teaches us, a continual death. That's why we have the hope that Job had of seeing Christ with my own eyes when this earthly life is over, and especially through the final resurrection. Psalm 17, verse 15, speaks of that. And in Psalter number 32, we sing of that in these words: when I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, when all the weary night is past, and I awake with thee to see the glories that abide, then I shall be satisfied. Then, when I am in heaven, in glory with Christ. We're not satisfied on this earth. We'll only be fully satisfied and truly joyful when we are in heaven. May that therefore be our hope. We look forward to that. Not only those who are old, and so we think they are close to death, but all of us, young as well. We have comfort in life. We have comfort in death. We belong to Christ. We long to be with Him in heaven. May God give us that hope. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God and Father, bless to our hearts and souls thy word, to comfort us through it. May we live in the hope of the heaven and the joy and the blessedness that has been prepared for us by thee through the work of Christ. May we live with the longing for his return and our glorious day of resurrection. In his name, amen.